all as many as they could they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Now, Luke chapter 14 and verse 23 says almost the same thing, although the interpretation is slightly different in the context. But in Luke 10, it says, "Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." Now, I'm going to have two prayer requests tonight. The first prayer request, and I believe with all of my heart that it's God's will based on some of these verses that we just read, that van workers and bus workers are needed. They're needed. So here's the prayer request. You pray that God would send forth laborers. Isn't that what Jesus said to pray? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. So specifically tonight, pray that somebody would get a burden to run a van, visit kids on Saturday, and pick them up on Sundays. That would be a tremendous, tremendous thing. Actually, if we didn't have two services, I would do it myself. But it's hard to be in two places at once, you know? Just been a tough thing that I've discovered. Now, from Matthew chapter 21, beginning in verse 23, and you go down to where we read in chapter 22 and verse 14, there are a series of three parables that grow out of a demand of the chief priests and of the elders for Jesus to explain by what authority he cleansed the temple. So that brought up these three parables. And if you say, well, they should have never asked that. Actually, as custodians of the spiritual life of the nation of Israel, they had the right to ask that question. But we are amazed at their ignorance, because Jesus had given them 3 years of ministry throughout his earthly ministry, and they still would not face the facts. And so they just wanted more evidence. It's kind of like people sometimes today. Now, Jesus took them back to John's ministry, and he basically said this: your leaders allowed Herod to arrest John, and then they killed him. And if they would not accept the authority of John, they would not accept the authority of Jesus, because both John and Jesus were sent by God. Now, those Pharisees were the leaders of the Jewish nation. Okay? Now, here is a basic principle before we get into our text of Christian living. You cannot learn new truth if you disobey what God has already showed you. That's a simple truth. John 7:17, I think, he said, if a man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Now, let's look at this text a little bit, and I want to give you the teaching of the text, all right? So here's a summary of it. Now, I want you to look at verses 3 and 4. And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. They would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them that are bidden. Who are the bidden? Specifically, it is the nation of Israel. Remember where the parables came from? When Jesus, they came and asked Jesus, by what authority did you cleanse the temple? So now he says, well, the bidden people, that is the nation of Israel. In Matthew 21, you can look up there just at verse 43. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. It's going to be taken away from the Jews and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Now, that was a previous warning, and it happened when the church came in, and you probably know this, but God put Israel on the shelf for a while. But here they were bidden. Those in the highways and hedges, who do you suppose they might be? The Gentiles. So you've got the Jews. This is the interpretation of the text. And then you've got the Gentiles. But if you look at the end of verse 3 and at the end of verse 5, it says, they would not come, verse 3 and the end of verse 5, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. Verse 5 says this, but they made light of it. So they were given this invitation, but they made light of it. Now, do you remember what John said in John chapter 1, I think verse 11? He came unto his own, but what? His own received him not. So they wouldn't come. So the kingdom of heaven in this particular text refers to the church age. Now, the king is God the Father, and Christ is the Son. That's kind of, I think, obvious. The text kind of spells that out simply enough. The marriage is to be taken in the full aspect of salvation, beginning with our union in Christ when we receive Jesus as our Savior, And it culminates in the glorification at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, I think the marriage supper of the Lamb is during the millennial kingdom. When my first pastor I had taught that the marriage supper happened in heaven right after the rapture of the church. And so when you're a new Christian, you believe everything. But the more I've studied eschatology myself, I've come to the conclusion, no, the marriage supper of the Lamb is in the millennium. And most of the scholars that I read, maybe almost all of them, have also put the marriage supper of the Lamb in the millennium as well. Now, I came across that before I read from those guys. But so I think it's in the millennial kingdom where the marriage supper of the Lamb is. Now, rejection of that invitation to attend by the Jews shows disloyalty to the king, as well as scrutiny to the son for whom the marriage is, and accounts for a severe treatments of these rebels. Now, I want you to look at verse 6 and 7. And the remnant took his servants and entered them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth and sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Well, when did that happen? Anybody want to take a shot? The year 70. Jerusalem was destroyed in the year 70. It included the city being burned up, which is a reference to the coming destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. So the bidden guests are the people of Israel. Now look at verse 8. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which are bidden were not worthy. So he says, they're not worthy. They didn't come. Remember, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. So, and also remember, the highways are those of the Gentiles. And look what it said in verse 10. I kind of like verse 10. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. I like that. There's no, we're not going to play favorites or anything like that. The bad, the moral, the immoral sinners, they all need God's gracious salvation, don't they? Doesn't matter what area of life people come from. They can all be saved. However, I want you to notice something in verse 11. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Now, you say, let me tell you something. That's a big deal, a real big deal in this chapter. He disregarded the king's provision, since the garments were provided in Jewish marriages by the host. Now, when you get saved, in case you can't connect the dots, who supplies salvation? The king does. Jesus. The garment seems to be what then? The robe of righteousness, which we must receive from the Lord so that we are worthy and qualified to attend the marriage feast. Look what it said in verse 12. And he saith unto them, friend, how comest thou in hither not having on a wedding garment? How can you come in here without the robe of righteousness on? And he was speechless. He didn't know what to say. Verses 13 and 14. Then said the king to the servants, bind them hand and foot and take him away. This guy did not have on the robe of righteousness. Now watch what it says. And cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. The Jews were called, but unfortunately they rejected. Casting the unrobed man into outer darkness symbolizes the eternal judgment of the lost in hell. Now, so what he tells his servants is to go out into the highways, into hedges. Get the bad, get the good, get everybody you can get, and bring them in. Some people will not come into God's kingdom. The message, or the application, I guess I should say, is to us servants of the Most High God to go. See verse 9? I skipped that, but let me go back to it. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. Go out and invite people to the marriage and try to get them to put on the robe of righteousness. What kind do we find in the highways and hedges, by the way? We find the outcasts. We find all kinds of people. I mean, the good, the bad, the ugly, everything. But the message is still, you don't ever say this when you witness, but the message is still, come to the wedding. Be ready for the wedding. The marriage supper of the Lamb is coming one of these days. Nothing more needs to be done for the salvation of sinners. The king has done it all. He's provided everything. The host has got everything ready, and the feast is spread. The invitation given, all are invited to come. Somebody said the Christian life is a feast. It's not a funeral. And all are invited to the feast, all right? And we must herald abroad the message of God. Come, 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 come. God wants his house filled. And you know something? There's still room. And if there wasn't room at the marriage supper, the rapture would have happened. But the rapture hasn't happened. So there's still room. Now, the parable in Luke 14, which is a little different than this one, was the text that D.L. Moody preached, and he had a sermon entitled Excuses. And it was preached November 23rd, 1899, in Kansas City, and it was the last sermon that he ever preached. And he was a sick man, I mean a real sick man, when he preached this. And he said this. He said, I must have souls in Kansas City. He told his students in Chicago, where the Moody Church still is today, never have I wanted so much to lead men and women to Christ as I do this time. I must have souls in Kansas City. And he was so sick, they said, that when he preached, he had to hang on or lean up against the organ to keep him from falling. But Moody preached anyway, and when he got done preaching, 50 people responded to the gospel that night. The next day, Moody went home. 1 month later, Mr. Moody died. Up until his death, you know what he was doing? He was compelling people to come in. I mean, right up to his death. Listen, we've got vans out there, two of them. We can always get a bus. We need people to go, and we need to get them that will come. All people won't come. Jesus came to the Jews, and they wouldn't come. But some will come. Now, here's my second prayer request that kind of goes along with the first prayer request. We need to ask God, and this is already on your prayer sheet anyway, but you need to ask God for a burden for souls. People need to have a burden for souls. I'm a little surprised, I guess, that, and I know, you know what, though? I shouldn't be, because people are busy. Listen, I mentioned Sunday. I don't know if Chris was in here or not when I mentioned it. I forgot our anniversary, but she forgot our anniversary also. So it's all good. But we're going to make up for it one of these days. We just don't know when. But now listen, I did remember it a couple days before. I know that was the sad part. But when the day came, I forgot all about it. But you know what? We still invite people. We're all busy, 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 busy. But we need to find time to reach the lost. We really do. So that's my two prayer requests based on that text and also on what we want to do with our vans. And we got these kids that came to Vacation Bible School. The majority of the kids that we picked up at the bus this year have never been here. This was their first time. And some of it was a direct result of all the door knocking we did. We had one grandmother with three kids. We were in Park Drive, and we put a flyer on her door. We knocked on all the doors, but not everybody was home. But when she came home, she found a flyer. She called the church, and she sent all of her kids. Then one other day, we were out there, and Lily was with me, and we knocked on this lady. She goes, I go to work every night at whatever time, 5:30 or something. It was before the bus was going through. So somehow, though, she arranged it so we could pick the kids up at daycare. And then she just about met us with her car on the way home. In fact, she pulled in right in behind the bus one day. So there are people out there that will come. And there are other people out there that will send their kids. And it doesn't bother me if they want to send them for a free babysitter. Some of them do that, you know. And they probably wish we'd take them all day long. But that doesn't bother me if they get under the ministry of the Word of God. It doesn't bother me at all. So, hey, let's get out there and try to reach them. Lord, give us a burden tonight for souls. You came to the people of Israel, you bid them to the marriage. They said nope. They took it lightly. They didn't come. And so then you told your servants to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Lord, give us a passion for that and a burden for that, to get out there and reach these young people. Now, I know not everybody here can do it, but somebody here can do it. And I pray that you would lay a burden on our heart to reach them in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, enjoy the prayer meeting. I gave you two prayer requests.